Hello, and welcome back to another amazing episode of Denta. Hi, how are you? For the people at home who have not watched this episode or any of my shows before, Denta in my language means hi, how are you? So I think it's so funny to say it as much as I can at the beginning. Denta, hi, how are you? It's a podcast where I get to talk with amazing Indigenous people from around BC and Western Canada, and I'm quite excited to have another amazing, beautiful person with me today, Beth!
Yeah, hi, I'm Beth. I am a Métis Two-Spirit Indigenous artist here in Vancouver. I'm so happy to be here with you. Like, I don't know, like, as soon as you asked me to do this, I'm like, absolutely.
Absolutely. I'm excited because every time we hang out together, it's always just, it's like a good little kiki. It's always just, like, good energy and just back and forth.
We kind of become bullies a little bit too, but like to ourselves.
To ourselves.
To each other.
To ourselves. Let's talk about this for a moment about bullying. I've been recently called a bully quite often.
No, you have not.
And like, everyone's like, but you say it in like a fun way.
That's what I mean, though. I feel like if you were bullying someone, it's like, that's how you show love.
Yeah, exactly.
You only bully the people you love. You would never bully someone you hate.
Exactly.
They're not worth your time.
Yeah, so I told people that I don't bully for power. No. I bully to empower.
Literally. You are awful, aren't you?
Yeah, exactly. I'm bettering lives one bad comment at a time.
No, I feel like, when we meet up, though, it's just like, the first time we hung out, I can't even remember what it was.
I think the first time we actually fully hung out was Fort McMurray.
Okay, I think so.
Yeah,
and like, it was just instant. We were just like going back and forth, hanging out the whole time.
Yeah.
It was just so easy to like.
Trauma relates to trauma.
Yeah, honestly.
I was on a
both
show.
We're both first out.
Yeah, we're both first out. Mine a very low production Z-based show. Yours is A-list.
Mid-production. I was on Canada's Drag Race, not the U.S. format. Babe.
That's true. That's true. And I was on a show that most people don't know. But that's
I
fine.
Watched
that's
it. I was actually casted on your show. Well,
yes.
Pretty much.
Yeah.
But we think I replaced you. No, you replaced me, right?
Probably. I wouldn't doubt it. They did message me like later into the production. Like, hey, we have one spot left. It's already like cast, but we want to throw you in there.
We all got messaged later into the casting, though, thing. That was like the weirdest cast. Never mind. Let's not go into detail about that. But it was like the longest casting thing ever. And like, I remember they called and said, hey, yeah, like, we really are interested in you. We need to get your measurements for this, this, and this. And I was just like, can you give me a couple days?
Yeah. And they're like, something else that's on the stove.
And they're like, it was like Cat Drag Race was casting at the exact same time, and they knew. And they're like, what is it?
Yeah.
And I was just like, oh, I just have like some like family stuff going on, and I don't want to like, you know, that to get in the way of any, or this to get in the way of any of that. And then they're like, good luck.
I think this might be actually true, though, because I got cast like 2 days after Drag Race got cast.
Oh.
Like literally after I knew who was getting on the show, all those castings went off. Like 2 days later, they're like, so do you want to be on a show? I don't know if like you said no to it. So like, you know, let's just throw this other Nene in the room so we can have our diversity.
Maybe. Like, honestly, that could be it. Because like because I was in the process for Big Brother. Am I allowed to say the names?
Yeah, you can say, yeah.
Big Brother, Call Me Mother, and Drag Race.
Yeah.
All, like, pretty much at the same time. And honestly, though, if I got any of them, I probably would have picked Big Brother. Like, if I had my choice.
Yeah.
I just knew, like, I knew I could get on Drag Race. It would help my career. Probably wouldn't win. But I knew with Big Brother, I would win.
You would have went farther.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah. You have a winning personality. I can see it.
Well, not for Drag Race.
It's funny. Talk about Big Brother, because I went to, they had a casting call in Kelowna once, and I went there, and I went pretty far into it.
Yeah.
And then they asked me a question, they're like, so what's your favorite season? And I was like, I've only watched season one. And they instantly were like, why are we going to invest in you if you're not a fan? And I was like, fuck, I shot myself in the foot.
Oh, you always lie. You lie out your ass.
Yeah. That's how I learned how to do auditions.
Literally.
Can you do this? Yes.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah. You want me to be like, do fire swallowing? Yeah, I can do that.
Googling. Can you play straight? Definitely.
Totally. I got this.
I got this. I did it for 16 years.
Being straight woman, right?
Yes.
Oh, God.
Yes. All right, let's funnel it around to you being Two-Spirit.
Yes.
Let's bring that up. Did you identify with Two-Spirit after you moved to Vancouver, or was that an identity you had before you got to the city?
I definitely leaned more into it when I moved to Vancouver. So growing up in Nelson.
Kootenays, baby.
Kootenays. We love the Kootenays. we love the Kootenays.
Like, I love it Kootenays. Now.
I had to leave to reappreciate it again. That's all. But so I grew up and my mom, like my indigeneity mostly comes from my dad's side. Mm-hmm. So my mom made sure to like connect me with people who could like show me the ropes and like be part of community and everything like that, which I'm really appreciative of. And then I moved to Vancouver and I kind of lost touch with that a little bit for a while. Mm-hmm. And that's when I met Jaylene. Jaylene Time, I think she was a guest on your pod once.
Yeah.
And we chatted and we were just talking about, you know, I was in this weird place of not feeling Native enough. And she was like, well, there's no one way to be Native. Like, there's no one way to be Indigenous. Mm-hmm. And she really, like, helped me reconnect here in Vancouver. And then when I, with the world of drag being so prominent in my life, too, and it made me realize, like, how much I do connect with the term Two-Spirit and mm-hmm. Identity. Because, like, I don't know, it just, like, it really did sum it up. And I remember speaking to an elder years ago, and she sat down with me, and she goes, Roland, when I look at you, I don't see a boy or a girl. I just see a fully balanced human being.
Aww.
And that, like, was the first
time. It's a beautiful thing to hear.
Right? And, mm-hmm. like, I never really knew how to take it, but I just knew I resonated with that so much. So when I started to connect more with being Two-Spirit and, you know, learning from Jaylene especially, mm-hmm. It kind of just, like, made sense to claim that term and really hold on to that.
Yeah. So. It's wild talking to a lot of people that identify with Two-Spirit, as with myself as well, is that it just, like, clicks something in your life, right? Because, yeah. Like, we're probably identified as queer when we're younger or gay when we're younger before we get, because that's all we knew. And then all of a sudden Two-Spirit comes around and you're like, I see it. I get this. It's there, you know?
And, you know, like, I think there's, again, Two-Spirit is such a, how do I say it? It's such a broad spectrum of how you could claim that, you know? Like, because I like to kind of, some people don't like when I say this, but in my term, it's almost like our term for queer in a way.
It is actually literally that. Literally, so if anyone doesn't like that, they're subverting it or putting their colonial views on it to narrow it down even farther.
But sometimes I think, like, using the term queer to say it, like, kind of almost is putting our colonial views onto that as well, right?
Or dumbing it down for the white people.
Yeah, exactly. But, no, like, it just means, I mean, so many different things, too, right? Like, that's why I really resonated with it, because there was, mm-hmm. again, no one way to be Two-Spirit.
Yeah, literally. And I feel like that's what some people forget as well, because I've had this conversation with a lot of people, is that they think that Two-Spirit instantly means non-binary or trans.
That part.
But, like, no, it's not. It's literally a term that we took to separate ourselves from colonial negative views of queerness, because we had an honorary system for it, our honorary place in our society that we wanted to reconnect with.
Yeah.
So Two-Spirit became that term for us.
Yeah, like, at the end of the day, I'm still a faggot. Like, I'm still a gay man.
Yeah,
like,
exactly. I'm still a dick.
But I
see this.
But I still just, like, you know, the term Two-Spirit is really, like you were saying, it just clicks, you know.
It makes sense.
You know, and when it's right, it's right.
It's right, exactly. You're just like, cunt.
Yeah.
All right, I want to talk a little bit about you. We mentioned earlier that you were on the TV show.
Oh, yeah.
Did you feel that there was more pressure after you got on the show to be more Indigenous? Because you did mention earlier that you didn't feel Indigenous enough.
Oh, absolutely.
And I feel like that's a lot of us urban natives feel sometimes when we leave our home or we're not close to our own reservations, that we feel that we have to have a feather in our hair or I have to be like, how? Feel this view that people see us as. Yeah.
Because I never grew up on the res, you know? Mm-hmm. Like, I didn't grow up in my territories, like, at all. Like, mm-hmm. I grew up on the other side of the country.
Yeah.
So I always had this little bit of disconnect. And then, again, like I said, when I moved to Vancouver, I was kind of reconnecting a little bit when I was, like, a teenager back home, but it wasn't until, like, I moved to Vancouver and I really started to be okay or celebrate it even more. I mean, I was mm-hmm. always celebrating it, but, like, I was really proud of it, but I just didn't know how much it meant to me until I left those people who were connected to me.
Mm-hmm. I don't mean to interrupt you, but it's wild, like, the sense of community that we crave.
Oh, literally.
And then when we don't have it, you're like, I'm missing something.
Yeah, literally. Yeah. The Indigenous community was the first community who allowed me to be 100% myself and celebrated it and didn't tear me down for it, you know? Mm-hmm. So.
And then you got the drag.
And then I got the drag, right? And now that it was just all being torn, I'm just being torn apart. I remember I moved to Vancouver and I was like, I went from being like the premier drag queen in that little tiny town to like nothing. And I was just, that was like a shock. And then like I lost, it was just, it was a lot. But then when I got the opportunity to go on Drag Race, I never really looked at Beth as an indigenous person.
Oops.
I never really looked at Beth as like an indigenous person or I looked at her as this.
Just this glamazon.
This literally, she's like she's a character I create. That's not necessarily 100% who I am. There's obviously aspects of myself in Beth or allows me to bring parts of myself out. But I remember I got cast on Drag Race and I didn't really talk about being Native during my audition process. And it wasn't until they started asking me about my background that I realized, oh, this is going to be what they're going to push.
Yeah.
I'm like, okay. And that's when I got the pressure on me.
Yeah.
I felt like I was being casted to go in there and represent for a community that I don't think I could fully speak for.
Mm-hmm.
And there was a lot of pressure on me in that way. And again, like Jaylene really helped me say, there's no one way. Like you go represent yourself and that's all you can do. So when I left the show, I definitely I was like, you know what? I can't speak for all Native people. I can't represent all Indigenous people around the world, but what I can do is go be myself, be authentic to who I am,
and be truthful,
use my platform to share with the people I believe need to have their voices heard as well.
Mm-hmm.
So that's all I've wanted to do since getting off Drag Race is share my platform with the Indigenous community and all my relatives who like I think need to be heard,
Which I think is the most important thing to do. And that was the whole basis of this podcast is because people see a bunch of Indigenous people in like a historical sense,
yes.
or they feel they have to act a certain way, or they just see us that we're going to be passed out on the road in very racist views, that we all have different stories.
Yes.
We all have a different view on what it means to be Native. We all express our culture in different ways. We all do ceremony in different ways.
Yes.
And then, so that's why I wanted this. So people can hear everything about us because stop thinking of us in this historical residential school way
that part.
Or thinking that we need to collect tax-free money. Granted, do I do drive to the reservation to get tax-free gas? Yes.
Absolutely.
If I don't have to pay the government any taxes, I won't.
Yeah, no.
But I want to talk about the show, because I felt like this, like you said, Beth doesn't have a culture to it. That's what
Beth is so uncultured.
Beth has no culture. Sorry, you didn't see like your indigeneity in Beth because she's a character that you created.
Yes.
And then going on Drag Race and they're like, you know, you're Two-Spirit, you're Métis, like that instantly puts that on you.
Literally.
Like you said, like then they become like representation. Representation of us as Two-Spirit pretty much never had.
Yeah.
So now you become this figurehead and this role model.
Yeah.
Let's talk more about that pressure.
Oh, it's just wild. Like I just felt like I was scared to say things or do things or speak. I don't even want to say incorrectly because there is no incorrect.
No, there isn't.
You know, it's your own story.
Mm-hmm.
But it was definitely like coming off the show, especially, you know, I was being put in all these like shows for Native people and all this stuff. And like, I just was like, I never want to take up space.
Yeah.
You know, that was always my biggest fear is taking up space, which is my own saboteur getting in my head, obviously, because you know, the Native community is like the community has always welcomed me.
Yeah.
And you know, and it's because it's like a mutual respect as well. You know, like, you know, like they acknowledge who I am. And, you know, whether like I know I grew up with a lot of privilege being like a very white passing. We use that term.
Yeah.
I hate that term, but we use that term a lot. Being a very white passing human being. I grew up with a lot of privilege and I never wanted to take up space from people who I believe I used to believe deserved it more than me.
Yeah.
And then again, like having people in my life, like Jaylene, even Alona Verley has been like a very powerful person in my life because she was the first Native person on Canada's Drag Race.
Yeah.
Which was like wild to see her walk down the stage in regalia. Like that was like, like a powerful moment for me to like feel represented as well. And it wasn't for people, if it wasn't for people like that, I feel like I would have not ever spoken about it and felt like I can't talk about it. I can't be involved. But the people in my life continuously remind myself that I am part of this community and
you're worthy. You're here. You're Native. Celebrate it.
Exactly.
Like you deserve the space as everyone else because you fought for it.
Yeah.
Yeah. I agree with that because a lot of people do feel like there is some gatekeeping natives, which is weird. And some people, when they say that, I'm like, this does sound very colonial of you right now. And then they feel in shock and they're like, why would you say that? It's because you're separating natives from non-natives.
Exactly.
Or you're creating this line where you have to go across or you have to do certain things to be included. It's like, that's not how our culture works.
Literally.
And that, once again, I'm not blanketing that across all indigeneity across Canada, but there was a point where I also didn't want to take up space because, once again, I left the Yukon at a very young age and I wasn't disconnected from my culture. And then I took a step back and I was very anti-native for a while. And
anti-native.
I know. And then I jumped back into it. And then since I'm a visitor in the Okanagan land, it's not my territory either. So I had to remind myself, just because I'm not from this land, I'm still standing up and fighting for us all, in a sense.
Exactly.
Because I'm going to be a proud, loud Indigenous person. Sometimes I get a little too loud and people accuse me of being an angry Native woman.
Well, she fits.
Yeah, exactly. In my dainty 12. But like, and when someone says to me that, I'm like, we're allowed to be angry, though,
yeah,
at
absolutely.
Some points. Yeah. You mentioned earlier that you were doing shows, or you got hired a lot for shows because of your who you are, the TV show that you're on. Do you ever feel that you're put into some situations where, like, I'm uncomfortable doing that? And for example, I would get hired for sometimes to do land acknowledgements, to do things, and I'm like, I'm not super familiar with this territory.
No, exactly.
And I was like, I don't feel comfortable going into this other city in another province, and just because I'm the Native person... that I should do this.
But also, it should be the white people.
I agree.
Doing the land acknowledgement, acknowledging the lands we're on.
I have a thing all the time where if there's another white person in the show with me, I'll go on first and be like, all right, everyone, we're going to do a land acknowledgement. But since I'm Native, I know where the fuck I am. So we're going to get a white person to come on stage and do it.
That's right. I like that.
So I always obviously verify with the person that we can do that first instead of just like calling some white person in the audience. You, where are we?
Well, I struggle... Sorry, that's about the wrong term. Like, I find, like, a lot of time, like, that was asked to me a lot, too, again, not being familiar, but even, like, sometimes locally here, I find some of the land acknowledgements become a little aggressive lately.
Yeah.
And it's just, like, can we, like, I remember there was, like, one performer, they were, like, who in this room is white during the land acknowledgement? I'm like, you just acknowledge every white person in the room during the land acknowledgement. I'm like, why are you doing that? Like, that's just you're just diminishing the whole point of this.
Yeah.
You know, in my opinion, like, a land acknowledgement should always be all the territories you want to talk about. We're grateful to be here. We're lucky to be here. And then just do better outside of this.
Yeah, exactly. Have, like, a little point of action is what I always say.
Okay.
And, like, I feel the same way. I feel when they first started happening, they came from, like, a place of, like, they wanted to do better. The people that said it, and like, really wanted to make sure that people knew that we're on Indigenous land. And then it started going into this place where I feel like it became performative, where everyone was just saying it to say it because someone else said it. And if you didn't say it, the other performers would be like, you're being racist.
Yeah, that
so then people just started doing it. And then I felt like it just lost all of its like, movement.
Yeah.
And then it changed to being like, you know, if we're going to say that, say we're appreciative of being here, and then have a point of action.
Yes.
And some people are like, well, I don't want to tell them that they have to do this. I'm like, a point of action means like, read the rules of action.
Literally.
Calls to action.
And tell them where they can go find this and like, you
yeah,
know,
exactly.
Better their life. Like, that's, or not better their life, but better the lives of the people who, or try to help better the lives of the people who were here first and like, that, like first, you know?
Exactly. So. Or like, to keep it simpler, if you want to buy beadwork, just make sure it's from an Indigenous artist.
Yeah, not Ardennes or whatever.
Yeah,
or
exactly.
Ardennes. You know? Don't do it because you feel obligated to do it. Do it because you want to do it.
Yeah. That's what I say as well.
Yeah, and just do it. And, like, just acknowledge the people who were here first.
Yeah. That's all.
That's the most important thing you can do. Mm-hmm. I mean, obviously, support Indigenous artists and support, you know, Native Indigenous-run businesses, as well as, you know, just if someone asks you for money on the street and you have the spare change, give them some money.
Yeah, exactly.
You know?
It's as easy as that.
Yeah.
Like, you don't need that quarter.
No, literally.
But also,
sometimes you do.
But yeah, exactly. But sometimes you don't. If you can.
Yeah.
Give. But how about... I've just thought about this while you're chatting. There's been so many times where I was at a show and then someone was reading a land acknowledgement and they read it off their phone, and then some other performer went up to them and freaked at them, being like, that is so rude that he had to read it off a thing. And I was like, what's the big deal?
Literally.
I was like, they just wanted to make sure the pronunciation was right.
Literally, my favorite is when people go like in Vancouver, because we do the Coast Salish people, Musqueam, Squamish, Tsleil-Waututh Nations.
Yeah.
And all these drag shows, all the performers go, Tsleil-Waututh. And I'm just like, okay, Tsleil-Waututh. Like, what?
He's putting a very gay accent to it.
But if you want to get like the pronunciation right, read it if it makes you feel more comfortable, especially as someone who's not familiar with, you know, like the language and the verb. Like, so.
And don't get mad at them for reading off the phone. They're doing their best. They're trying to learn and acknowledge with you. And then one day they won't need the phone.
Well, we've gone to other places and probably mispronounced what we're doing
like
a million times, you know.
Many times.
So
I go to Fort McMurray often where we went once and it's Nistawayo. And I was like, Nistawaya. And I thought that that was it. And then finally some elder was like, it's Nistawayo. And I was like, oh, thank you.
Why, who?
It's like I've been hearing you butcher it all weekend.
Thank you so much. Really appreciate that. Yeah. Please let me know now.
Yeah, at the end of the festival. Yeah. Thank you.
Got it for next year.
Yeah.
Please bring me back.
Yeah, exactly. Now I just have it in my head every single time because I was shamed.
That's how they get you.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, they're like, wait.
We'll help her out.
Yeah, we'll help her out.
Later.
The native way.
Yeah. Watch her struggle for a while.
Yeah, exactly. Point and laugh and then tell her.
Yeah.
God, that does actually sound like a native way. That's amazing. Amazing. I want to bring this up because I want to talk about it still, about being asked to do uncomfortable things. I like smudging. I enjoy it. I love it.
Yeah.
But I always get hate asking to lead it. Like, I don't know if you've ever got asked that, like, walking around doing this thing. And I was like, I'm not that important when it comes to these things. It's like, this person here is literally helping out the whole community and creating these events. It's like, people just know me.
Yeah. Like, they just know me.
It's like, I feel like someone else should do this. Yeah. Have you ever been like...
I think there was one time I actually just said, like, I don't feel comfortable leading.
Yeah.
Like, I love... Again, like, I love participating as well.
Yeah.
I just something about after a good smudge, you just feel all your sins are gone.
Yeah, the sins are gone. The demons are out.
Yeah.
And I feel the same way. I've gotten used to saying no.
Yeah.
It was hard for a moment.
It's okay to say no, too. Like, that's the biggest thing I learned, too. Like, especially with having pressure on me now, I'm allowed to say no.
Yeah.
Where I'm not feeling like maybe this is not my position, you know? Mm-hmm. Know your place in the tribe.
Yeah. I think that's such a powerful thing to do. One, for our mental health, and two, just to be able to give quality content out there.
Exactly.
Is to be able to say no.
Yeah.
Like, I'm not the right person for this.
Sometimes I'll point them in the right direction to find the right person.
Yeah.
You know, but
if I know.
Yeah. Sometimes I don't either.
Just send to Jaylene. She's doing a lot of things.
Jaylene, like, yep. Like,
yeah, I got this.
Yeah, don't worry. I got it.
Go talk to her.
Yeah. Oh, she loves.
She does. She loves being, what is it, Kilf?
Kilf.
Yeah.
I toyed like that term for her.
Did you?
Coined that term for her. We were on the phone one day. And she's like, oh, you know, I'm just a Gilf now. Grandma, I'd like to fuck. And I'm just like, no, baby, you're a Kilf. And she's like, oh, yeah. And we just like cackled for half an hour on the phone without like talking, just like laughing.
It was so amazing. And when she told me, and I was like, this is perfect.
Yeah.
And now she changes it to like, Kukum, I'd like to finance.
Yeah. That makes,
I was like, that makes sense. Yeah. But what are you going to do for that money, Kukum? Yeah. Your knees are still good. You mentioned earlier that you had to move away to appreciate your town that you lived in. I fully resonate with that. I grew up in Yukon, hated it. Yeah. And now that I'm older, and I was like, I learned a lot of great things there.
Yeah.
Did I want to grow up there? No. But like, have a huge appreciation for it now.
Yeah.
Is that the same with you in Nelson area?
Yes. Like I still feel like there's a ways to go with it.
Mm-hmm.
But I love, how do I say it? Last time I went home in like 2019, I think.
Mm.
And I was just like, wow, I do miss the sense of community that is here because everyone knows each other there.
Yeah.
And I kind of miss that now living in Vancouver where it's just head down, walk fast, don't talk to anyone.
Yeah.
Whereas I remember walking down the street all the time and I would just,
hi.
Oh, hey, how you doing? Oh, yeah, how's that?
Yeah.
How's
it going? Love your jacket.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah, hey, is that mine?
Yeah. I left that at the Royal.
Literally that part. At the Royal. I like how you know what the Royal is.
Yeah. I go to Nelson often, actually, so I do know it.
There is this weird, like, my mom walks around in my merch, and everyone knows who I am there.
Yeah.
Like, my mom is very, I don't know, maybe a prominent figure in the community there.
Oh, wow.
Like, she just knows everyone.
Yeah.
Like, everyone knows my mom.
Like, friendly, kind, everyone just knows her.
Yeah. Well, she used to run the shelter there, too, and, like, make sure cook meals.
So just a good human being as well.
Yeah, oh, absolutely. But now she's taking a step back from that for her own mental health, as we all need to do that, take care of ourselves before we can take care of other people.
Yeah.
But so like I feel like everyone kind of knows, like especially when I got on the show, I'm like, Mom, you are not allowed to walk around town and tell every single person I got on TV. Because I'm not even supposed to be telling my mom. They wanted me to tell my mom I went to go do some, like, management course for hair and wasn't allowed to use my phone the whole time for 6 weeks. I'm like, that sounds illegal. But
I'm going somewhere in Canada where there's no reception.
Yeah, exactly.
For six weeks.
6 weeks. But she, I was like, you cannot walk. I know. I'm like, you're going to walk around. You're going to tell every single person in that city or that little town that.
There's a new TV show coming out and you got to watch it.
Yeah, my son's on there. My son.
Do you know what's funny? Talking about Nelson, because I made it to the final round in season one. I did my intake phone interview in Nelson because I was camping in one of the campgrounds. So I had to drive into town and I sat on, there's there's a clothing store close to Biobora, and there's that corner coffee shop, and there's, like, this little walkway up a hill.
You're saying all these names. I'm just like, you know Nelson. Yes, I know that. Yes.
And then I just sat on those stairs while I talked to the casting director.
Those stairs, there's, like, that platform.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. I haven't been home in so long. I like how you know this. Like, right beside Sidewinders was a coffee shop. There's a little bike store.
Yeah, the bike store. And then there's a little path that goes up the hill.
Oh, my gosh.
That's where I was sitting to doing my intake. Wow. Didn't make it past that. No, that's not. I made the video that year. I didn't make it past that.
I woke up to my phone ringing after being out partying.
Just one eye opening it. Hello?
I was like, hello? And they're like, hi, is this... I was almost... Is this Beth Amphetamine? Because that was my name at the time.
Was it?
Beth Amphetamine.
Did they ask you to change it for the show?
No, I dropped it.
Oh, you dropped it?
Yeah. They were like, it was after I was casted, I dropped it.
Okay. And then I like Beth. Beth is good.
Beth is so stupid. Yeah. Like, that's why I kind of was like, I just felt like I always resonated with the name Beth more than I resonated with, like, my full stage name when it was Beth
Amphetamine. Beth Amphetamine?
Yeah. Because, like, you know.
If you know, you know.
But the reason I chose Beth Amphetamine was because I love the name Beth.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, I wanted a stupid, like, play on words or a stupid name. That's good. And I was like, wait, Beth is stupid.
Beth on its own is great.
Especially, like, I wear, like, big hair, big costumes. It's Beth.
I love that. If you have any, if anyone's at home hasn't seen Beth perform, you should go check them out.
I got a big mouth.
You do?
Yeah.
She does. The best lips in town, some would say.
Ooh, there's $3,000 of filler in these lips.
Yes. They're naturally filled.
With natural filler.
Yeah. There's a drag artist in Kelowna. She just goes by Clem now, which I'm happy with, but her name was Chlamydia.
Okay.
For a long time, I was like, I hate your name.
I love when, you know, it's audition season when all the girls are changing their name from, like, these inappropriate
names. Yeah, exactly. Like, Venus was, like, Venus Cunt for so long. Yeah. Now she just goes by the Venus, right?
Venus, yeah.
Yeah.
And then there was Denim Pussy.
Yeah, Denim Pussy. Same with Alaska Thunderfuck. Now it's just Alaska 5000, I believe.
Detox Icunt.
Yeah, yeah.
Who else? There was Crystal Beth on UK.
Oh, yeah.
Who is, that's one of your aunties.
Crystal Beth?
Crystal. I'll call me mother.
Oh.
Her old name is Crystal Beth.
Who is she?
You're like, who?
Remember, I wasn't adopted.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah,
you were the...
It's funny, like, I got in trouble because, you know, for a year after the show, your contract to them, however it was, I don't know if it's Drag Race, how it is, but at the end of the show, I would go along all the time. I was like, well, Call Me Mother's just acting like the Canadian government and making the Indigenous one unadoptable. And I said that everywhere.
Yeah.
And then it got to them because someone took a film and I got an email being like, can you not say that anymore? I was like, how'd you find this out?
Okay, I got 6 months. I'll start saying it again.
Yeah, exactly. So I was like, I love them.
They do watch us, though. Like, it's kind of weird. It's like, like you're on Big Brother after you get off TV. You're like, what I say or do.
Keeping an eye on you. Yeah, keeping tabs.
Always on. Those iPhones.
Yeah, exactly.
Everyone records everything now. Remember you go to a drag show and no one knew you were there?
Yeah, literally. Or somebody, they'll post, like, the shittiest part of your act. You're like, I had a really good part, but why are you putting the part where I slipped?
Literally. There was a video the other day. Oh, Coco Jumbo. Do you know Coco Jumbo?
Yes.
From Drag Race Down Under?
Yeah.
Oh, she was just, like, turning it out on stage the other night, and she just flies off the stage. And I'm just like, of course that's the videos they got.
Yeah, exactly. Not their huge, beautiful routine. They're like, got it, babe.
Yeah. Got the content. Yeah. The fans are always looking for our downfall. Cause it's
always.
Like, yeah. We got to own it, though.
Got to own it. Yeah. That's one thing. I have some people that I hang out with that are very, very meticulous about their photos and get really angry if something's posted about them. And I don't care. It's like, you post the shittiest things about me. And they're like, why don't you care? I was like, well, that is me.
Yeah.
And I did do that.
Yeah. I think I used to care a lot.
Yeah.
But then, like, I don't know. I'm just like, there was something, especially being on Drag Race, I looked a fool.
Yeah.
On that show. I was like, what the fuck am I doing there? There's like this photo of me on the main stage, like this, that people keep posting. And I'm just like, ugh. Now I'm the one who posted the most, but
yeah,
like, I don't know.
Remember
just,
when?
Like, I looked awful, and I was just like, but like, that's part of my journey.
Yeah.
You know, it's just like, we all mess up. We all look stupid sometimes, you know, but that's how we become better.
Yeah.
So why not
literally
embrace,
grow
like,
from it?
Why don't we embrace, like, when we're making mistakes or being stupid or acting silly or falling
off someone that is 27, that's a lot of good life lessons.
27. I think. I'm 24.
Oh, that's right. You still have things to learn.
Yeah.
But it's so true, though. And I always tell people that. It's like, well, you did do this. You did do these moments. It's like, you just got to own it. Yeah. And once again, who cares? If you take a bad photo, it's not the end of your life.
Literally. I remember watching my lip sync for my life. And I was just like lying on the floor, half the lip sync. And I'm like, that's not how I remember it. I just remember being like, I remember turning it out. And I'm just watching it back. And I'm just like, I never want to watch it. No one play that. Like, no one ever look at that lip sync.
Yeah.
Like, I just look awful. Like, if I'm a bad performer and I just sat there, I'm just like watching that lip sync. I'm like, actually, I watched that back and I've learned a lot about how to perform.
Yeah.
Because of that.
Yeah, you can see parts where you want to move more, things that you've done. You'd be like, what am I doing with my hand?
Yeah, maybe only lie on the floor for like a third of the song instead of half of it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it makes sense.
you just take things that you like and leave things that you don't.
Exactly. But for anyone that's at home, if you've never seen Beth lip sync, amazing. Literally, you emote so well, and she does trauma. Just stays there and doesn't move. But
it's the trauma.
It's the trauma. Yeah.
I was doing this one show recently, where I was in a show full of like all the dancing divas in Vancouver, mm-hmm. and I'm just like, well, that's not me. And I'm like, and they're all doing all these high energy numbers. I was like, I can't do that. Like, I'm just going to look like the worst. Like, I'm just going to look bad. I was like, I'm going to go do what I do.
Yeah.
And it was in the middle of the show, and I did a ballad, and I just stood there on stage, and I just started crying during my number. Yeah. And I made like $400 in tips.
Amazing.
Just standing in my 3-minute song. And all the girls are like, how'd you do that? And I'm just like, talent.
Yeah, literally, talent. Like, I don't need to do what you did.
No, I'm like, I just like, I remember I used to pigeonhole myself, or like, not pigeonhole myself, but like, try to be what I thought the fans and drag audiences wanted to see at a drag show, and I kind of forgot why I love doing drag and the drag I like to do.
Mm-hmm. I know, I'm doing the same thing.
I forgot the drag that I love to do and why I started doing drag, and that's because of the vulnerability that comes with it, and the emotion and the heart that I put into it. Like, I started to lose that. I was just doing like Operator by Shiloh and being stupid on stage. Mm-hmm. Meanwhile, I still love doing that, but like doing a ballad.
But it's not all you all the time.
Literally, and like being able to do a ballad and like really feel a feeling that I'm feeling, feeling in that moment on stage.
Do you feel that?
And share that with people, and maybe someone in that room might connect and resonate with that feeling, and it might help someone. You know, I love to make people laugh, but when I can help someone get through
like a moment in their life.
Yeah. That's just as powerful as, you know, doing a dip to, what's that? Let's Get Physical.
There you go. One of them. No. But like, it's so true, because sometimes people lose who they are because they're doing what other people think they should do.
Yes.
And then they lose their authenticity. And sometimes people think that the audience is dumb, but we can tell when someone's having a good time or they're connected to a number, because then they pull you into that performance.
Yeah.
And then you start feeling things.
Literally, I've been hosting this dinner show for the last like 2 months almost. And it's just been so nice to just like be in an intimate crowd and just like connect with every single person in that room, mm-hmm. whether we're laughing or we're being emotional, or it's just, I love, there's something about it being part of an intimate show or an intimate crowd that allows us to be able to do it a little bit more than maybe like, you know, the big stages that we go on.
Yeah, exactly. Selling at stadiums.
Yeah, exactly.
But I get that, because I love small intimate shows as well, like 50 plus, less than 100, like in that little realm.
Age-wise, 50 plus.
Yeah.
But like, connect with our people.
Yeah, exactly, my people, because my knees are bad. But I also love it because, one, you can talk to them more, you can connect. People are there to, like, watch the show. I do love a club setting every now and then. Yeah. but because I don't have a lot of club shows in Kelowna. Yeah. So sometimes when I go to a bigger city, it's like loud music, dancing, going on, do your number and you're done.
Ella's in a big city.
Yeah, exactly. Big city. You know, actually, is another thing. you were mentioning earlier about going from being big stuff in a small town big. To like... Yes.
Big.
And then no one when you came here. I remember I was planning on moving to Calgary from Kelowna. And this person, I think they said it from a place where they didn't want to move town. And she was like, do you really want to move away from a place where you're a big fish in a small pond? And then you'll move to the city where you're going to be a small fish in a big pond?
That's what I used to say. So I would say tadpole in the ocean.
There you go. That makes more sense. And I remember just like looking at it. I was like, you're a bitch.
You're like, I know, but it's true though. Like, cause like when I moved to Vancouver, I felt like it was a good wake up call.
Yeah.
To like push myself and evolve. And I was now around people who could help me grow and be better, because before it was literally just me.
Yeah.
There were some other like performers there, but not doing what I was doing.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas here there's like so many different styles of drag that I could like pull from. So it helped me grow, but I definitely like had a wake up call that like, oh, I'm not.
You had to fight more.
I may not be the one and only bitch, but I'm still that bitch.
Yeah, exactly. You know, so. It's just a way to like navigate your thoughts or just reroute where you're going. Because I get that. Because a lot of people ask me if I'm going to move away from Kelowna. And I was like, no. And they're like, why? I'm like, for one, I'm really established in the Okanagan. People know me. And then I know that if I go back to a bigger city, sure, I do have a little bit of name to myself, not as big, but I would have to start back lower again to rebuild where I want to. And I was like, I don't have that time.
Yeah. You're almost done.
I'm almost done, exactly. You're when people find out that I'm turning 40, there's some that are like, ooh, you look good. And some are like, and you're still doing this?
Yeah. Still,
still cross-dressing?
Really? Yeah. Still wearing those hard fronts, girl?
Yeah. Yes.
Yes, vulnerability. Vulnerability in a drag show.
Yeah, exactly.
Don't stand in front of a fan with that one. Go right in front of the fan at the show.
Like, yeah, it just like flies out.
Everyone's cheering for you when you go in front of the fan. Everyone's like, oh.
Ooh. Yeah. Talking about small towns, but this week as well, I did a Peak Pride in Rosland in Red Mountain. Okay. And we did a photo shoot in front of a fireplace. All of a sudden,
no,
this
stop.
Wig is all burnt in the back. I cut it all off and I was like, she still works.
You're still wearing the burnt wig.
Well, I cut off all the burnt pieces, but it was more mullety before.
I'm going to inspect that later.
Yeah, it's kind of gross. There's some parts. Yeah. But, you know, not many people see the back of my head because I've been celibate for a long time.
You still have your face framing layers. So you're good.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Filler.
Yeah. you know, I remember when I got casted, everyone was like, who?
What? Who?
Her? That one who comes out once every few months? Really? And I just, like, I wanted it to, like, it was a shock. And I was, like, excited to shock people. And, like, I felt like I had, that was, again, pressure on me to, like, really prove
that like people's preconceived notions of you?
Yeah. And, like, I mean, that's, I think that's why I struggled, too, when I walked in and I saw the Brat Pack there. I was like, oh, there's people now here who do have a preconceived notion of who I am or an idea of who I am. And then I realized, oh, no, they actually have no idea who the fuck I am. Yeah. So it doesn't matter.
That was a wild season with so many people from Vancouver, though. Yeah, it was to be like, fair.
I mean, at sabotage. That point, there'd been Alona only from Vancouver.
Yeah.
Then all of a sudden, there was, like, the four of us. So that means there's... When I got on, there's only... Vancouver is one of the biggest drag scenes in Canada.
Yeah.
And there's only five of us ever who had been on the show.
Yeah.
And I was, like, really proud to be one of those five.
Yeah.
So...
Yeah, I remember growing up, because when I first started drag, people were like, oh, do you want to do this full-time? And I was like, the only way you could do it full-time in Canada at the time was Vancouver, Toronto.
Yes.
It was the only two cities. Otherwise, that it was just a hobby thing. Even in Calgary, even in Vancouver, there was never enough work to do it.
Yeah.
And now Drag Race is so huge. It's gone from a point of having hundreds of queens to thousands of queens.
Yeah. And there's now you're competing for, like, the spots in your city. Like, even the big city where you could, like... used to be able to perform every night whenever you wanted.
Yeah.
Like, you're fighting for those spots. Like even the free spots, the tip spots, it's limited now.
Yeah, there's so many going on. Because back in the day, you'd have your established queens, which have their weekly shows, and then it would probably be, like, Friday, Saturday, maybe Sunday.
Yeah.
Now there's shows going on all week. It's constantly evolving because they see what's working, see what's not.
There's Drag in Vancouver 7 nights a week, which is great. But it's, like, sometimes I, like, you know, I never want to, like, sound, like, we wanted this and we got it, now we don't like it. But I'm just, I do kind of miss, like.
But also when it was just on those set days, like, they were packed. Yeah. Like, all the shows were always packed. It was great. I don't know if it's still always packed now, but.
Well, that's what I mean. Like, it was, everyone would be looking forward to the weekly drag show before. Yeah. And now, like, we have a show at Monday at midnight and it's just like.
Yeah.
We're struggling to fucking fill that, though, you know?
Yeah.
Like, I mean, it's also. We get into the cold season, it dies down a little bit. Yeah. Summer's always like wild and
fine. Literally with all the tourists. It's just like the shoulder season, but also we do dilute the art a little bit more. And let's be fair, some of us that do it full time, I'm not going to say that I don't give 100% all the time because the shows that I do, I will. But sometimes I get hired for something that I don't like about it. I'm just like, I'm going to do a number I've done 20 times already.
Oh, literally.
Yeah.
But my favorite is like, I don't really want to be here tonight. I'm just going to go get it over with. But then as soon as you walk on stage, you're like, oh, amazing. I'm on.
Yeah.
I'm on. Like, let's do it. Like, yeah. You know, like, I don't know. There's like a part of you that you can't not.
Yeah, exactly.
When you care about something so much, too.
Literally. Thank you so much for being here, Ben. Ben?
Ben. All that Ben. It's okay. I've been called worse.
There you go. By less nice people.
Yeah, by...
Awesome. Thank you so much for being here, Beth. I had such a great time. And I'll see you soon.
See you soon. Bye. Bye.